The next item of business is getting into our committee reports. The first report is from the chair of the ABFF, Audit, Budget, Facilities, and Finance Committee, and that's Ray Cepeda. By the way, Ray, thank you for agreeing to serve as chair.
You're welcome, Ed.
I would remind everyone that in addition to Ray, Jim Montgomery, Treasurer Lester McKeever, and trustees Juwan Hall and Jalen McClintock and Dominic Wilson also serve on that committee. Ray, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A meeting of the ABFF was held at 1 o'clock on Monday, January 11th, 2016. Members of the committee present consisted of a quorum of Chairman Cepeda, Trustee Montgomery, Student Trustee Wilson, Student Trustees Hall and McClinton also participated. Treasurer McKeever and Trustee McMillan participated by phone. After approval of the November 2nd, 2015 committee meeting, the following draft board items and presentations were made. Dr. Christophe Pierre, Vice President of Academic Affairs, presented a draft board item for the request for new operating capital appropriations fiscal year 2017. Mr. Robert Plankenhorn, Assistant Vice President for Treasury Operations, presented a draft board item requesting additional Urbana capital projects to be funded from excess funds, from excess proceeds from Auxiliary Facilities System Revenue Bonds, Series 2014A. Mr. Plankenhorn also presented a draft board item to refund certain Auxiliary Facilities System Revenue Bonds and to finance the UIS Student Union Project. In addition, Chancellor Koch, Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, Dr. Clarice Ford, and Vice Chancellor for Development, Dr. Jeffrey Lorber, spoke in support of the UIS Student Union Project. Mr. Michael Bass, Senior Associate, Vice President, and Deputy Controller, presented the draft board items for the fiscal year 2016 services and management agreements for the University of Illinois Association and Foundation. Mr. Bass then presented five capital items for committee consideration. Assistant Vice President Duane Elmore presented three purchase and renewal recommendations for consideration. Mr. Bass informed the committee of the approval process, the reason for, and the details of an emergency purchase for surgical equipment for the hospital made subsequent to the November board. Ms. Julie Zimaitis, Executive Director for University Audits, presented to internal audit report for second quarter ended September 30th, 2015. Vice President Walter Knorr updated the committee on the status of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, health insurance enrollments and costs, the status of accumulated fiscal year 16 billings, the status of the state budget and monetary assistance program, and expected rating agency actions in connection with the auxiliary revenue bond offering. The meeting was adjourned at 2:15 p.m. 11 items for board consideration today are recommended to the full board. The first item, item 21, request for operating and capital appropriations fiscal year 2017. Item 22, delegate authority to Vice President, CFO, and Controller to refund outstanding auxiliary revenue bonds and to fund a new project. Item 23, Auxiliary Facilities System Revenue Bonds, Additional Projects, Series 2014A. Item 24, Fiscal Year 2016 Services and Management Agreement for the University of Illinois Alumni Association. Item 25, Fiscal Year 2016 Services and Management Agreement for the University of Illinois Foundation. Item 26, Project for Classroom Revitalization and Addition, Law Building Urbana. Item 27, amend Professional Services Consultant Contract, Design Center Facility, Urbana. Item 28, construction contract for standing seam roof replacement, Veterinary Teaching Hospital, Urbana. Item 29, project budget for pool infill renovations, Freer Hall, Urbana. Item 30, increase project budget and amend professional and construction services award for energy conservation project, Science and Engineering Laboratories Complex, Chicago. Item 31, purchase recommendations. that concluded that the items that were for vote. The next meeting of the committee is set for Monday, March 7, 2016 at 1 p.m.
Very good. Thank you, Ray. Any questions? All right, hearing none, we'll go on to the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee. Trustee Fitzgerald chairs that committee. In his absence today, Trustee Patricia Brown-Holmes will make the report, and I would also say that Trustee Courts serves on that committee also. Patricia?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee met on January 7, 2016 via video conference at Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield campuses with Trustees Fitzgerald, Holmes, and Courts in attendance. The committee approved the minutes of the last meeting that was held on October 29, 2015. We also reviewed and recommended the items within the purview of the committee on today's agenda for board consideration, which would include appointments to the faculty, administrative professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff, appoint Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs and Provost, Chicago, revise university policy on background checks. Dr. Pierre discussed the proposed revisions to the university policy on background checks that are being recommended by a working group comprised of faculty and administrators. He reviewed the proposed revisions, discussed faculty concerns, and reported that an outside legal review of the policy indicated that it was not discriminatory and that it was in full compliance with federal and state laws. The committee discussed the policy and proposed changes and emphasized that the purpose of the background check policy is not to exclude individuals, but to ensure safety and security. Members of the committee discussed the role that shared governance played in this process and thanked all involved for their contributions. Trustee Fitzgerald gave an update on the Secretary of the Board of Trustees and the university search and said it was moving forward, and as we know, it was successful. Ms. Donna McNeely, Executive Director of Ethics and Compliance, gave a presentation on preventing discrimination and sexual violence training. This training will be offered online and will be required for all university employees and students beginning in spring 2016. Ms. Jennifer Creasy, Assistant Director of Governmental Relations, gave a legislative update and described the university's strong advocacy efforts. She described a coalition focusing on communicating the impact of higher education in the state and referred to the establishment of new partnerships. She briefly discussed legislation impacting the university and said the Office of Governmental Relations will continue to comment on legislation and will continue to defend the university's policies. The next meeting of the committee is scheduled for March 3rd, 2016 at 1 p.m., same location. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions? All right, thank you very much, Patricia. The next committee report is Academic Student Affairs. Karen Acera serves as chair, and she had a whole crowd yesterday, but in particular, Trustees Cepeda, Estrada, Holmes, McClinton, Hall, and Wilson actually serve on the committee. Karen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The Academic and Student Affairs Committee met yesterday, January 20, at 3 p.m. Committee members present were Cepeda, Estrada, Hall, McClinton, and Wilson, and we were very honored to have several other trustees join us because we had such important discussions on our agenda. In our regular business, we reviewed the following recommendations prior to advancement to the board as a whole. They were appointments to the faculty, administrative professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff. Appoint Secretary of the Board of Trustees and of the University. Approve tuition rates, academic year 2016-17. Approve student fees for Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield, academic year 2016 and 17. Approve rate changes for university-operated housing facilities, Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield, academic year 2016-17. And we'll hear a little bit more about the tuition and fees in just a moment. Delegate authority to establish study abroad programs. Appoint head varsity coach football, Urbana. Appoint associates to the Center for Advanced Study, Urbana. Appoint honorary degrees, Urbana. Establish the Bachelor of Arts in Asian American Studies, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, Urbana. Rename the Graduate School of Library and Information Science, Graduate School of Library and Information Science, and the Graduate College, Urbana. Appoint Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs and Provost, Chicago. Establish the Bachelor of Science in Liberal Arts and Sciences in Integrated Health Studies, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, Chicago. Reorganize and consolidate the program in Asian American Studies and program in Asian Studies, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, Chicago. Establish the Master of Science in Medical Physiology, College of Medicine and the Graduate College, Chicago. Establish the Master of Science in Comparative Effectiveness Research, College of Pharmacy and the Graduate College, Chicago. Rename the Center for Pharmaceutical Biotechnology, College of Pharmacy, Chicago. Rename the Department of Clinical Laboratory Science, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, Springfield. We next heard three presentations given to the committee. First of all, Dr. Pierre and the Provost presented a review of the tenure system faculty hiring process. The presentation illustrated that the faculty-driven processes at the campuses are multi-leveled, comprehensive, and rigorous. It's important to note the campuses have changed their timing so that the Board of Trustees' approval is in close proximity to campus recommendations. Further, we stress the board's commitment to optimizing the timing of the board's approval in order to enable the campuses to recruit faculty of the highest caliber. We then heard about upcoming training programs on preventing sexual harassment and misconduct. Also, we heard exciting presentations about activities planned on each campus in observance of Peace, Respect, and Community Week, a new initiative dedicated to promoting student safety, awareness, and welfare in a variety of programs and events. Dr. Pierre presented tuition, fees, and rates for university-operated housing academic year 2016, and I now turn to him to provide his summary of these very important recommendations.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning. I'm pleased to present the recommendations for tuition fees and housing rates for the next academic year. Next slide, please. My presentation will be brief. As you know, we are recommending no increase in the base tuition rate for new Illinois resident undergraduate students for the next academic year. This is the second year in a row that we are proposing this freeze after, and that's after 2 years at 1.7% increases. There is certain other rates that will increase in a modest fashion. For instance, in the second bullet, you see that non-resident undergraduate tuition at Urbana would increase by 1.7%. However, there would be no increase in non-resident undergraduate tuition at Chicago or Springfield. Chicago campus is proposing two new rates, a new international undergraduate tuition rate, which would be set $1,000 per year above the non-resident domestic rate, and then a new reduced grant rate for high-achieving non-resident domestic students in order to increase their numbers, and that rate would be 50% higher than the in-state rate, but below the non-resident rate. There is also some selective and modest increases in certain graduate program differentials and certain professional programs that are proposed. Actually, all of the, except for one increase at 6.1% in, I believe, the Master's in Social Work at Urbana, all these increases are between 0.4% and 3%, and these are required to cover the cost of specialized curricula in these graduate and professional programs. Next slide, please. So to summarize, these are the undergraduate in-state tuition rates at the three campuses. I'll let you read them, but $12,000 at Urbana, $10,600 at Chicago, and $9,400 at Springfield, and they are recommended to remain flat. Next slide, please. As President Killeen mentioned, this year, I believe for the first time in memory, we are holding the line on fees. We're essentially recommending that fees, mandatory fees, which you can see range from $2,000 to about $3,100 per year, be held flat. The only exception to this is a modest increase in transportation fee at Urbana, and that was approved by student referendum last year, corresponding to a very modest 0.1 increase in the fees. The next slide, I will present the proposed room and board rates for undergraduate university housing. Here, modest increases are proposed, 2.7% at Urbana, corresponding to about $280, 2.2% at Chicago, and 0.5% at Springfield. And these increases will be revenues from these increases will be largely dedicated to repairs and renovations of facilities. Several of those are badly needed on the campuses. So the next and final slide that I have, in conclusion, our top priority is to ensure access and enhance affordability for students from Illinois families. The proposed tuition freeze for Illinois undergraduates is the second one in so many years. And this year, we're also holding the line on mandatory fees, therefore making what I believe is another significant contribution to affordability. We're also committed, the campuses are committed, to continue to increase advancement targets for student financial aid. And our goal is really to be the attractive choice for the U of I, to be the attractive choice for the residents of Illinois. A final note is that finally, despite really what is unprecedented uncertainty regarding the university state appropriation for this fiscal year and also future years, we believe that the U of I must keep operating as efficiently and effectively as it can and open its doors to students from Illinois. However, it is clear that the lack of sufficient state support may threaten our future ability to hold down student costs in a sustainable way. Thank you.
Very good. Karen, and anything else on your committee?
Just an announcement and a comment. I would say it's with sadness I want to recognize that Provost and Vice Chancellor Lynn Pardee yesterday announced her retirement at the end of May 2016. I personally have had the pleasure of working with Lynn for many years, and I just want you all to know that she is so well respected, both at the university and in the Springfield community, and will be greatly missed. Lynn, thank you for all your years of service. And of course, we also bid Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs and Provost Rick Gislason, whom we've already acknowledged.
She's straight
today,
behind you.
The work that you have done, too. So thank you to both of you. That ends my summary. Our next meeting will be held March 15th, 2016. Thank you, Mr.
Very
Chair.
Very good. Any questions for Karen or for Christoph? All right, hearing none. Again, thanks, Lynn. We look forward to working with you and tell you. Our last committee report is the Healthcare Systems Committee. Trustee Courts chairs. In addition to that committee, Trustee Estrada and Fitzgerald serve with Tim on that committee. Tim, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The University Healthcare System Committee met on Thursday, January 7th, 2016, by a video conference at Urbana, Chicago, Springfield, and Rockford. Joining me for the meeting from the board was Trustee Patrick Fitzgerald. This meeting marked the first attended by our new VCHA, Dr. Barish. We welcomed him and are delighted to have his expertise and experience on board with us. The first order of business was to review agenda items that will be presented to the full board today for a vote. They are number 18, establish the Master of Science in Medical Physiology, College of Medicine and the Graduate College, Chicago. Number 19, establish the Master of Science in Comparative Effectiveness Research, College of Pharmacy and the Graduate College, Chicago. Rename the Center for Pharmaceutical Biotechnology, College of Pharmacy, Chicago. The committee had no objections of these going forward to the full board. Our collaboration highlight was presented by Drs. Bo Fernhall and Tanya Gallagher, deans of the College of Applied Health Sciences at UIC and Urbana, respectively. It is interesting to note that these two colleges have very different footprints, Chicago being more geared toward occupational therapy and physical therapy, and Urbana concentrating heavily on access and education for those with disabilities. The two colleges do overlap in kinesiology, and many joint research projects are underway, including research in advanced multiple sclerosis on mobility impairment and comorbidities such as atherosclerosis. Other projects include fall prevention, firefighter health, and dissertation collaboration. In summary, extensive collaboration with Synergy, and we thank Dean Fernhall and Dean Gallagher for their presentation. Next, Dean Dimitri Azar of the College of Medicine and colleagues in ophthalmology, neurosciences, psychiatry, and anatomy gave brief presentations on newly recruited junior and senior clinicians and researchers. These folks are analogous to blue chip recruits in the sporting world and will help us build highly competitive top-rate departments. Many bring grants with them, and also this will help us to compete for NIH grant money, the total of which is actually expanding nationwide and heavily focused on the neurosciences. Dr. Pigon then gave his semi-annual Chief Medical Officer report to the committee. Among his highlights include a management improvement project for renal transplant and the opening in 3 months of a 32-bed short stay observation unit adjacent to the emergency department. Now for what you've all been waiting for on the edge of your seats, hospital finances. If I had to summarize in one word, I would probably choose precarious. Basically, for the first 5 months of fiscal 2016, we are at break even. But three significant funding sources remain troublesome at this time. The first is the move to Medicaid managed care. Whereas in the past, Medicaid dollars came straight to us from the state, now they are routed through these managed care organizations, many of whom do not have the infrastructure to deal with the number of lives they cover. Thus, many of our claims get denied and rules for reimbursement change constantly. And unfortunately, there is no financial incentive at present for these managed care organizations to lift their game and play fair. I suspect the state is lax in their vigilance to oversee this problem. The overall effect for our accounts receivable for 60 days with Medicaid managed care organizations stands at $144 million. The 180-day accounts receivable stands at $75 million. And this is a whopping 46% increase in these two numbers just in the last 6 months. Second, last meeting I mentioned to you about the Medicaid Trust Fund not being funded by the state due to the absence of the budget. To date, the state has appropriated $15 million of the usual $45 million, this was as of our meeting date, January 7th, to the fund, so $15 million out of $45 million. In the absence of any more cash injections, this well runs dry basically at the end of February. One caveat, I was just informed at breakfast this morning that the state has agreed to another $7.5 million payment, which is pending. So that might keep us afloat there for another short while. Third, supplemental Medicaid payment of approximately $47 million, which normally comes to us from the state to help pay for hospital and physicians' fees, is now also being routed through the Medicaid managed care organizations, so who knows if or when we will ever see those dollars. The consensus of attendees at our meeting, I think it is safe to say, felt that a concerted effort in Springfield is needed to plead our case. We are facing serious financial difficulties. This is a hospital and medical service that serve a very vulnerable patient population, many of whom would not be able to obtain care at all if it were not for us. I also asked the folks in Chicago to attempt to evaluate how the educational mission of all seven health-related colleges at UIC would be affected by a severe curtailment of services at our hospital and clinics due to budget shortfalls. For a start, I suspect that it would be devastating to the faculty of the College of Medicine. I told Avijit that, you know, all this keeps me awake at night, and his comment was, he sleeps like a baby. He wakes up every 2 hours and cries. I realize that I have a biased viewpoint, but I really do feel this is one of the biggest threats and challenges facing the University of Illinois at this time. The freight train is rolling down the track and the whistle is getting louder and louder. I'll do my best to keep you apprised of the situation. In conclusion, I would just like to announce that the next meeting of the committee will be on March 3rd at 2:15 p.m., same venues. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Any questions? I just interject, you know, we often just think of the challenges that we face in the three facilities and all that the chancellors do, but I appreciate you shedding light on and putting focus on the challenges of the mission that we have at the hospital and the challenges that we face with it. I hope that that concern can get expressed more widely than perhaps it is now. Were you going to make a comment?
Well, just a quick comment. I when I testified to the full House, the bullet one was on the hospital, so I think it is front and center. But obviously, there's a crowded out in some tight settings by other concerns. So, but your committee's approach is very well considered and needed.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
That concludes our committee reports.